Broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.
Here, Jane Lister.
Here.
Randy Monroe.
Here. Okay, we have a quorum. Like, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve June 13th, 2017's agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. We don't have a student presentation, excuse me. Kids are out. Hopefully starting to enjoy their summer break. And I believe Casey will be back in the fall as our student representative. So that'll be nice. And no student presentation, excuse me. I got those kind of backwards. Any correspondence?
Nope.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Okay. Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to comments from board members. Okay.
Did you want to address the candidacy?
We can, or we can talk about it at the end. I guess either way, we can address this at the beginning or end. We have, if you would listen to Campus Connections today, Mara piped in, which was good. We have two seats that will be up this fall. My term is coming up. It's a 3-year term. And then Brandy, because she was an appointment, and so then by rules that she has to go up on the ballot that fall. So it's a 2-year left on that term. Is it a 2-year term? I'm trying to remember it. Okay. Okay. So we're hoping. So we have to get so many signatures and get that into the borough. I believe the deadline is in August.
It opens July
25th and closes August 22nd. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so in order to be on the October ballot. So, but if any community members that are listening are interested, we do encourage you to go ahead and
check in with Debbie.
Yep, check in with Debbie at the borough. And if you want to be on the ballot, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll move on to then, if no other comments, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, no discussion. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Mara Lutonsky?
Yes.
Randy Monroe?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jane Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. On to administrative reports, first superintendent report.
Okay. So we have been super busy as we always are, even though kids are no longer around, at least in the district office, and we still have a lot of us running around here, but we did end the year on a great note, and surely appreciated all the work that went into graduation this spring, and still pretty awesome to see all 5 of those valedictorians up there. We've been working on updating the orientation guides that we've been working on last spring with the classified staff as part of the labor training agreement. Mr. Dormer, Mrs. Tolan, Bridget Whitstock was there, and we were working on updating those for the fall. For new staff, members coming in, and they have a lot of input into things that they wish they had known, you know, when they started, kind of a thing. So that was super helpful. We didn't add a lot of things, but we did go through them all and change, and they did have a couple of additions that they wanted to see in there. So we're working on those and finalizing those. We're working on getting prepared for in-service already for August and October and beyond. So looking at professional development for next year, which is actually really exciting, thinking about what we're going to do for our students next year. We are also embarking upon the world of MAP testing, which is the testing that comes out of Northwest Education Association in Portland, and that is an effort for us as a district to have kind of a standardized assessment that we are using as a district, which is something that the state also requires in addition to their own state assessment. We have several that we've used in different buildings, different levels, but we want to kind of clean it up a little bit and formalize it. A lot of districts in the state, I want to say 50 or so of the districts in the state out of 54 use MAP testing, so it's a nice comparison across the state too, and in other states, it's not just Alaska. So we've been working on that. We have another conference call on Thursday morning, and we're going to get all that set up for starting in the fall, in September. So we're looking forward to that. State assessments, on that note, they are still working on cut scores at the state level. We knew that, and we will not have results until the fall. But so far, I haven't really heard any horror stories about how it's gone in the districts, that sort of thing, so nothing like last year. So I think it's actually gone well around the state. So we'll find out more about that in the fall and get information out to parents and the school board and staff as we get that. We have been busy working on grants this week. Lots of grants, consolidated grants, Title I, migrant, Indian Ed, which is also on here for public comment at the end, CTE grant, Secure Rural Schools grant. There's a lot of grants going on this week, so we're moving forward with all those. I think that's it, right? The list. So I appreciate everybody's help with that. Mrs. Toland and I are meeting tomorrow about that one, too. We are also talking a little bit, Sarah and I, and actually some of the other members of the board, I think over this year, we've talked about strategic planning and a kind of a process for that and what that might look like. We had reached out to Timmy Tolis, and she did give some possible dates for that and kind of an overview of what it might look like. And she doesn't have to be the one that does it. It can be, you know, there's lots of organizations and groups that do it, other people at the AASB that do it, and nothing works there. But I think it's nice she knows us. She's familiar with our system. She's familiar, you know, she's been here a lot and already done quite a bit of professional development with us, but that'll be a decision for the board to make as we move forward. But potentially some dates that she gave us in September or November. And she laid out a timeline of how many people would be on that. It would be some community people, students, staff, administrators, two board members, and then some follow-up to that, so I can get more specific information out to you guys about that if you would like. Lots and lots of talk about budgets and not a lot of movement on it at the state, but we are moving forward, and Karen will have a good presentation for you tonight and some information, so we will tell you what we know, which is what we know about what's going on here. That's what we know. We're working on an Eagle's Nest potential agreement. Mrs. Tolan's been working with the Children's Center, and then I've been talking with their director about possibly looking at renting an additional room to them. And they have quite a few numbers, and so we've got a space, and I think they're moving forward with some licensing, and which is great, because they're our kids, so we'd like them to have a good place to go, and we've had a good working relationship with them, too. So we're kind of finalizing some details, and just hopefully have that ironed out this month. And I think that's about it for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we'll move on to principal reports. First, Principal Tolan.
Okay. Good evening. I was thinking back at the end of the school year when kids were in, it seems quite a while ago, but it's kind of a blur. And so it's just a flurry of activity and lots of fun, and the kids were great. They hung in right to the end. But it's good to evaluate and look at different activities and decide what are the beneficial ones, what needs to go. And so I've been thinking a lot about that, how to make our school year continue right to the end, finishing up strong. And it was a good year. I need to thank Lisa Adams and Eliza Warmack. They stayed several days and have been working on Migrant Ed and Title I. That's a complicated job, and Eliza will be moving into that position next year. And so they put a lot of time and effort into that, and I'm very confident that's going to continue as a strong program. They've got lots of good ideas that will be going into the next year. Did we want to talk about handbook now?
No.
Later. Okay, I will wait. That was most of what I was going to talk about. So, just excited about the MAPS training we're going to be working on. I think it'll be a really good move for the district to have this kind of testing. So, that's my report.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Principal Roman.
Really should use it, it's like, but I refuse. Thank you and good evening. Yeah, just a great end to the school year. Most of my reporters just thanking a lot of the people that I could think of. I'm sure there are many more that just made it a great school year. It's fun to walk in and see there's a lot of furniture out that looks like they've been going on a spending spree. But just I'm excited. Hopefully, as a board, you'll have a chance to kind of wander through the school in the fall. You know, the PILP has moved into a room. Ms. Barazza has some kind of cool ideas. These were little pentagonal, hexagonal, I don't know, desks that kind of fit together because she's such an active teacher in Spanish. These kids are moving their desks all the time, and so she's got some cool ideas and some ways to do that. So it'll be fun to kind of see all the personality of the teachers come out and the way they set up their room and some of the things they're doing. So it's fun to see that as you walk in. A lot of the stuff's arriving. And I've been just working in the district office, as Superintendent said. Lots of grants and stuff wrapping up. Very quiet, kind of a peaceful, kind of boring in some ways. To be honest, if I had a full-time... I don't want to offend anyone. And Karen, too. I don't mean... I'm going to offend Karen, but if I had a full-time job just working on grants behind a computer, I don't know if I would enjoy my job as much. So you get over and see the kids, Karen. You do a great job of lots of things, but a lot of time behind a computer. First of all, the high school, middle school schedule is done, so thanks to the scheduling committee. Exciting, I won't call it an experiment, but it's an experience, maybe is a good way to say it, the first time just having a group of teachers and counselors and administrators get together and kind of create the schedule, and it was fun, and they started... Whoa, cool ideas. We came back to it looking fairly similar to the schedule we've had for a couple of years, which is fine. We continue to work, and it's a good schedule for kids. So thank you to them. They put a lot of time in, so it's cool. And it's finished, finally. Lots of extra hours there by that committee. Just a nice job, and continued Godspeed or whatever to John and Caleb. As you can see, there's wires hanging from the ceilings and stuff, and they're doing the three projects. You've heard they're running the wires for the new Ethernet throughout all the buildings, and they've got GCI, and they've got this EthanClute Painter guy in there's working, and so they're all doing it over the building. So that's a big project, and exciting to see them doing that. But also, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce it, but I'm going to, the new website is up. If you go to pcsd.us and click, it looks completely different than the website did, I think, yesterday. Yeah, just yesterday. So it's different. It's much cleaner. It's not ready yet, so you can't find very much on there, and that's nobody's fault. Yeah, we're just getting started, and he's just getting us logged in. These handbooks you will hopefully approve tonight. We hope to get on there. We just got to get the process going. So that in itself should be a big project, and then John and Caleb also, the new phones are up and going, and you'll see in the handbooks we talked tonight, there are new phone numbers, so we're kind of slowly get that roll out, and the phones are working, and I worked with Caleb today just on new phones. So just all these projects is happening all at the same time. I'm a lot in awe of what they're doing, so congratulations and thanks to them for what they're doing. I really like the new website. Just a reminder here, thanks to Casey Evans, his little nameplate over there, for a great year and serving and taking extra hours. He's a real busy young man and did a great job, so thanks to him, and we will see him next year. So cool. Thanks, Casey. Hope he has a great summer and is safe. I want to thank Carly, Marcia, and then Charlie, the offices. They were here last week, if you saw them, they worked really hard, and it was very smooth. Is nice, you know, a little power school, it does its thing. Charlie lost her temper a little bit and came back down talking to Aaron Rudy, our programmer, just at power school, which I love because it's, you're dealing with the computer program, and she did great and got everything smooth and got the kids in the classes, and so they're scheduled in their classes also, which is pretty cool. Counselor Etcher does that as well. So thanks to the office staff for wrapping things up. Ginger was in there wrapping up the grant, so they've worked really well, worked really hard all week, and they are out, and I hope they're having a great time. Thought we had a great graduation. Thank you all for being there. Thank you, Superintendent. I thought it was nice. I enjoyed it. I've heard a lot of comments. The uniqueness of the five valedictorians was neat, and the way they did their speech was pretty cool. Four valedictorians and then historian, salutatorian, pretty cool stuff. Five. Yeah, I said it right the first time. Thanks. I was picturing them in my mind. So that was fun, but of course, just a great community that supports them. Wonderful families with these wonderful kids, but I really enjoyed that event. Ashley Lohr is a senior advisor. Jill Lenhard set a lot of time and helped them with that great speech. It's the reasons, one of the reasons they were so great is they're great kids, and they had great structure behind them. That's hard to get up and speak in front of people, as many of you know. Music was great. Thanks, Matt Lenhard. And then, of course, the final thank you to Rob Schwartz on that enjoyable speech. And it was great. It's a lot of character, and he'll be missed. saw him today in his torn up sweatshirt doing what we thought he would be doing out in torn up clothes, walking around just being raw. It was awesome. And of course, congrats to the students for a great year, and best wishes, of course, to our graduating class. As Cheryl's saying, they're already off on working on their next adventures, huh? Cheryl, it's awesome. Getting them there, but then here they go. And then just looking forward, you know, it's summer and things are slowing down, but I see Dan and his crew are very busy, and good luck to them. Dino and Rick are up. They're doing basketball camp, and we're talking to kids about, I see a lot of kids out running, getting ready for cross country in July, so we never stop. There's stuff going on. It's awesome. It's awesome. Any questions for me? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Director of Activities, Mr. Cabral, I am pleased to hear he is on vacation, not doing something with activities. So next we'll move to Director of Finance.
I will reiterate that we have been super busy in the district office this last spring, and I want to thank the admin team for all their support. It's been a little challenging being solo in the office and just all the grants and the budget and everything, but we've got a really great support team, so I feel very, very blessed for that, even if you guys make fun of me, because I like numbers. I really do like numbers. I do want to thank the board for letting me purchase Tyler Technologies. It has really made my job so much easier. There are things, if we were to look back a year ago and I would have been solo in the office, it wouldn't have happened. This budget I was able to pull together. I actually have three budgets for tonight. Pulled it together in about 3 days. So, and there's the capabilities in this program. I can put my notes right in the program. So I don't have to look through all my papers. I still keep my paper copies. But as I get more comfortable with the program, I'll just transition to all paperless. Let's see. I'm going on vacation. So that's coming up on Thursday. And the district office, the finance part, will be closed for a month. When I get back, I will have all the grant reports to do for the fourth quarter, and then the auditors will be here 2 weeks later. So it'll be busy when I get back as well. So I ran four payrolls this month, or I will finish up tomorrow on the last payroll. And, it's been a great year. So I hope the two board members that are due for re-election will sign up. So, thank you.
Principal Dormer stole a little bit of my thunder, so thank you. That's just fine. But if you do look around, there's a lot of activity going on already. It's only 1 week and 2 days into the summer session. I'll just touch on a couple other things. There goes my computer, not doing what it's supposed to be doing. The auditorium seat project is moving again at actually full speed, and we're kind of calculating it could be done by the end of the month. So that's a big feather in our cap to get that one out of the way. I think I'll just give you a quick synopsis of how I prioritize the work. You might be curious about that. I don't want to give you a play-by-play of everything we're going to do. Essentially, I just look at the educational spaces first. You know, we need to make sure that when September rolls around that we can get into the classrooms and there's no delays there. So we take care of the repairs to the classrooms. We deep clean them as best we can, and we move on to special projects that will enhance the educational environment. And after that, interspersed between those two, I need to still do all the upkeep on the infrastructure of the district. So I'm looking at preventive maintenance and all our mechanical systems, looking at our foundations, do our groundskeeping work, and things like that. So it's quite a task for a small crew, but we've been doing it for several years, and we've got it down pretty well, I think. when we look at deep cleaning, we essentially look at classroom space first, followed by offices, and then we move on to common spaces. Pretty simple, is about what you would expect. I'd just like to touch on three of the major projects we're working on this summer. Principal Dormer already touched a little bit on the fact that we're repurposing a couple rooms here at the high school, and we've already started. We've got two rooms repainted, and we're looking at new carpeting in another, but they're for the PILP on the first floor and special ed classroom on the second floor. Again, we go in and we repaint the rooms. We put in carpet if they need it, new outlets. MacTech comes in and they install whatever technology the teacher needs, and that's what we do with that. On a larger note, we're looking at playground work this year. I have a man right now, today was power washing the covered playground on the east end of the playground down by the cafeteria, the red oxide painted one. We're going to get that power washed, sandblasted, and we'll get it paint to match the west playground. And moving forward with that, we did have a report commissioned last summer, a safety report on our playgrounds, and we do have equipment that we have to remove. And we will replace that with swing sets that were purchased several years ago and have been in storage. And we're also going to try to put in the ADA accessible pathways this summer so that kids can get out to those spaces if they need help with that. So, with the high school kitchen project, that one's been a little bit tougher to get moving, working with several contractors, getting dates, getting bumped back. I think we've all probably done projects with some contractors, and it doesn't always work out with the grand master plan, but I am trying to keep that moving forward. If we can get the sewer and the plumbing roughed in by the summer's end, I will almost consider that a victory, and then we can certainly build on the project from there in the fall. Other than that, there are going to be smaller projects enhancements done to the district, and I plan to bring you up to speed on those at the August board meeting. Is there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We'll move on to the school board committee reports, curriculum and technology, which was wrapped up a little while ago. So we don't have anything to report. Crisis and policy.
We just had a meeting on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we're going forward.
For policy?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll looking have through some, our policies, right?
Huh?
You're like reviewing all of our policies?
No, this is AASB policies. Yeah. But we are, yes, we are reviewing. This one was just to review the, go over at AASB policies. And they'll be on August.
We have about eight. It'll be on, I think, in August. Yeah. For our first reading.
There were updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So nothing new. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wellness and facilities.
Everything new.
Okay. Legislative.
Nothing new. Well, the special session ends this week, so we'll see if it ends or if they get called into another special session to keep going.
Okay.
Don't know.
All right. And we don't have negotiations, so. Moving on to special recognition, it was fun to see in the paper and also hear about it, but congratulations to Joanne Day, who is a middle school and high school. Did she teach any high school classes?
Middle school.
Mm-hmm. Middle school teacher here. She was the winner of the Prince of Wales Island Marathon in the women's division. 26.2 miles. That's incredible. Congratulations, Ms. Day. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements we have for the district office, for the staff that work 12 months of the year. They will have 4th of July, which is a Tuesday off. Then we'll be already back into, at the end of the month, of July, setting the agenda, which looks like Jay and I will be kind of already said that we can meet that 28th of July at 9 a.m. in the district office. Campus Connections then on August 8th. And I'm wondering, today I showed up forgetting that I didn't need to be there, but I'm almost thinking we don't need two board members. But, I mean, it seems to be fine with one board member and the superintendent, and then that might be easier, less burdensome for everybody else, because unless it's we had a lot on the agenda or
something that might have a lot of questions.
Right, that would have a lot of questions, and maybe it'll warrant two.
You mean people that might call in?
Yeah. It's only happened once in 8.5 years that I've been on the board. But that's okay. There's people that talk to me about it afterwards. I heard you on Campus Connections.
Can
ask you a question.
Yeah.
So we know they're listening.
That's true.
But I'm thinking that maybe if people feel comfortable just moving to one board member and Erica.
It's up to you.
Okay.
That sounds fine.
Okay.
Unless that person that signs up forgets that person was supposed to go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking.
I know it happened at least once for me. So we will make every attempt, and Eileen's so good about trying to remind us. So anybody want to sign up already for August 8th? I don't mind. I can probably. We're not going anywhere this summer, so I'm sure.
Not attend that.
I would imagine. Jay's probably on a Tuesday, you're probably busy, and I imagine, Brandy, you are more than busy in August.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and do it on August 8th. Okay. And then we have a regular board meeting.
If you
that
can't,
night.
You can pencil me in.
Okay. Okay.
An alternate.
Well, that's a good one. I'll put it in my phone
now.
Yeah. you say? Bud. Okay, sorry. We don't have any old business, so we'll move on to new business. The AASB School Climate and Connective Climate Coordinator, excuse me, will provide an overview of school climate and connectedness survey. Welcome, Jenny.
Hello.
Good to see you.
You too.
You can
I will. Let me fix my screen for a second. Will you, board? Will the board have ability to see the slides behind, or? Okay. Good evening. Thank you for having me. My name is Jenny Leffing, and I'm the School Climate Coordinator with the Association of Alaska School Boards. And the primary reason that I'm here in Petersburg today and tomorrow is to provide some support and technical assistance to a prevention mini-grant that Petersburg's, your district, has partnered with WAVE for a new Let Me Run running program that's going to be launched this fall, which is really exciting. And that was through funding through the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So that funding brought me to Petersburg, and it turned out that there was a school board meeting this evening. And since your school climate and connection to survey results are out, which is my big hat at AASB, I asked the superintendent if I could review some of the results with you. So here I am. So I was told I had about 20 minutes, so I'm going to make sure I will not go beyond that. So that is a very short time to, so I won't have time to go through all of the results that are there, but I want to give you a quick overview of the survey, share some highlights, and then share with you and give you a chance to navigate a bit or navigate with me this new survey platform that we're really excited about. And I will, this new survey platform that I'll talk about, you are the first group that I'm having a chance to review these results with. So it's exciting. So real quick, to make sure we're all on the same page of what we mean by school climate and connectedness, and the photos that you see in this keynote are mostly from your district's website, or probably your website as of
yes,
a few days ago. But I found some great photos. So I really like this definition of school climate and connectedness: the quality and character of school life, the foundation for learning and positive youth development. It incorporates so many things that impact the MAP testing that the superintendent talked about. It includes everything that your maintenance department is doing, making sure that your buildings are safe and secure for students, that the classrooms themselves are clean and functioning. It includes whether or not students feel connected to their community, how involved community members are in what's happening at school, whether or not they feel that adults care about them, and interactions between peers. So it's all those things that we know are important but don't always get measured, but directly impact how students do in school academically. So all their student achievement scores, including the MAP scores. In turn, we know that the more positive students and staff feel about all those things around school climate, they're less likely to engage in risk behaviors, and students are more likely to graduate. So Petersburg, your district, has participated in the School Climate Connectedness Survey since 2008. You participated 2008 to 2012, and then again starting in 2015, I believe, to now. So this past year, 2017, your district was one of 27 school districts to take the survey. Over 35,000 grade 3 to 12 students from around the state took this survey, and over 5,000 staff members. And I really, it's important for me to share those numbers with you, because while your data is important to your schools and your community of Petersburg, your data is also part of a larger picture for the statewide profile, and you're able to see how your results in Petersburg compare to students statewide, just to get another perspective. So here in your district this past year, you had 278 students take the survey district-wide and 50 staff members. This past year, you had students from your three schools, the elementary, middle, and high school. So this was the first year that Petersburg took the grade 3 to 5 younger student survey, which is a much shorter survey, but of course, it's a different survey than the grades 6 to 12, so we don't ask questions such as around risk behaviors that we ask the older students. The survey is designed for the younger students. So your numbers overall are a lot higher than they were in 2016 because you're including the elementary school. So when you do look at the results, I would just caution you when you're looking at the results compared to the last time you took the survey in 2016. Again, I mentioned new survey platform. The big news in our School Climate Connection to Survey world is we heard from districts year after year that they wanted, especially from staff, more user-friendly reports, results that were more likely to be able to take action on and were shorter and easier to read. And we heard that. I don't know if in the past our district reports, while had lots and lots of great information, were kind of cumbersome, 60 to 70 page reports. Now, the results platform, staff, district leaders can look at the data in many different ways, and all the data you look at can be exported into a PDF or Excel in different ways, and I believe the superintendent, and in front of you are a few samples in hard copies, so it's just really exciting. We've also, the new results, the way they look like, allow for more alignment between the student grades 6 to 12 and staff results for the areas that they're the similar scales. This year, I'm able to share some results with you now in June because of this new survey platform, where in the past, districts didn't receive results until at least August. And we also have a new Alaska Cultural Connectedness Scale. We worked closely with First Alaskans Institute and other stakeholders around the state to develop this new Cultural Connectedness Scale to reflect student and staff perceptions around one's cultural identity, cultural responsive sensitivity, and instructional equity, which we know is an important part of school climate. So this is the first year that you'll have that data. So that's exciting. So this next screen is my understanding is district leaders, which includes school principals, and you as school board members received a link to see your results. So when you go to it, this is the first thing that you see. You can see all Alaska statewide. You can see your district results and for each of your school. And when I click on this, I tested it earlier. We'll see if it works. This is the Petersburg Borough School District link to the results. It's connecting. And for district leaders, they have like a username and password so that you're able to save different things. So it's loading. It's just taking a minute. There we go. So there's Alaska statewide again. District, Petersburg Borough School District. You can see, go to each of your schools. So right now I'm going to focus on your district. So if you as a board want, I invite you, if you want to go into the system right now, you're welcome to. If not, no worries. Just want you to know that it is there. But before I do that, I want to guide you to, on your table, there is, try not to overwhelm you, handouts that have summaries for each of the surveys that students and staff take. And there's extra copies on the middle table there for those in the room if you want to see one. Yeah. So on the front page is students' grades 3 to 5. This is just a visual summary taken from the results platform so you can get a glimpse into how overall students who took the grade 3 to 5 survey, how they responded. So the students in grade 3 to 5 were given questions in each of these categories. The first is caring others, so that included things whether or not students cared about each other, how they felt adults cared about them. So in your district, for your elementary school, 63% of students that took the grade 3 to 5 survey agreed or strongly agreed, so that was their favorable, their positive response, that they felt they had people that cared about them for a total. The 78% recommendation question, grades 3 to 5 had one question of whether or not they would recommend their school to others. Then the safety question, it was one question whether or not they feel safe at school. And then there were questions around social-emotional learning. And then if you go to the next page, there's grades 6 to 12, a summary as well. And you see there's more topics for grades 6 to 12, including the new cultural connectedness scale. So again, there's about 5 to 7 statements under each of these categories. Cultural connectedness, high expectations, whether or not students feel that they have expectations for their own learning, whether or not adults motivate them to do well in school, parent community involvement, how involved they feel parents and community members are in what's happening at school, such as adults in my community support this school, peer climate, the student-to-student interactions, such as whether or not students help each other, even if they're not friends, and so on. So it's a lot. And then the next page is staff, where you'll see there's a number, there's around 5 categories that staff, you can compare staff to student. So if I had all the time tonight, we would have a chance to go in depth in each of the topic. But looking at our time, I want you to take, you as board members, to take a minute, just at first glance, for grades 3 to 5, grades 6 to 12, staff, looking at your overall results, what are a couple of areas that you would like to delve into this evening? Okay, which
I guess if we assume, I don't, you know, what the question was revolving around. I don't know what the rest of you think, like the peer climate and student involvement, what those entail.
Yeah, peer climate and student involvement.
Respectful climate.
And even caring adults.
Respectful climate and caring adults?
It's peer climate. Student involvement, I guess. I don't know what everyone wants.
And student involvement is also, those two categories are also ones that you have for staff as well. So we'd be able to compare on the next page.
Okay.
So we'd be able to see side by side how student and staff.
How perceiving things?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great.
Okay. So should I start with that, with those? Okay. So up on the screen, again, I clicked into your Petersburg Borough School District. So this is what your results look like if you're going to go into the system. Again, you can, any of the results in here can be put into a PDF, into another report. I know that not everybody is going to be comfortable or want to dig in to the platform. So first thing I'm going to do is go to Topics Comparison and click on Peer Climate. It's thinking. It's loading. So you can see at a glance all the topics for each of the surveys. So at the top you see grades 3 to 5. You can get a quick glance. I'm just going to scroll down first to peer climate right here. So peer climate on the left in the gray box, you can get it, see a definition of what that topic area is. So this definition is students' perceptions of how respectful and helpful students are to one another. And the staff survey definition is staff perceptions of how respectful and helpful students are to one another. And then you can go over to the right, and you can see for the students grades 6 to 12, the number in blue, what's the percent that's favorable there for peer climate?
29.
Right, 29. So in your district, 29% of students reported favorably, strongly agree or agree about their peer climate for all of the statements. Compared to staff, what percent was for staff? 78%. So if you're interested in seeing, and you can also see how you compare to the Alaska statewide average. So students' response is slightly lower than the statewide average of 33% for peer climate. However, your staff and staff perceptions are just as important, if not more important, than how students view school climate. Staff perceptions of peer climate throughout the district is higher, 78% compared to 65% statewide. Then if you're interested in just seeing, well, what exactly are you asking in peer climate, you go to click on details, and up will pop up a every item, every question within that category, and you would see exactly how students responded. So first, you'll again get the description. You'll see the overall percent again. You can see how it compared to the last survey, 2016. So here I'm seeing that 2016, district-wide, it was 4 percentage points lower. So that is 29 minus 4 is 25% last year. You can see how it compares visually to statewide. And then you can go down to subgroup. You can see for every subgroup how students felt about peer climate. So right now it says student grade level. What grade reported the highest peer climate? 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th? 11th. Yep, the juniors at 37%. Actually, I found that surprising because often we see that it's the lower grades that reported a higher peer climate. So,
not this year. That is exact for the 6th grade this year. Been a lot of, yeah. It's, it was just our transition year, kind of getting their feet settled in like that. And then it feels like the older kids really kind of get in a groove, you know?
Yeah.
They know each other. They know what they're doing here. Kind of get things done. So that doesn't surprise me. But
so for your district, that doesn't surprise you that the older student felt more positively this past year about their peer climate?
Yeah, just about the climate.
Mm-hmm. So then you could look under each student gender, whether students reported being male or female. That didn't differ by ethnicity. So all the demographic questions. And then to go even deeper, you can see for every question that students were given in peer climate. So for example, the first one says students in this school help each other even if they are not friends. 26% of students who took this survey responded favorably, either strongly agree or agreed with that. For that particular statement, this is also really exciting because in the past you were not able to see specific statements, how they compared to the year before, and now you can right there. That was a bit lower than that for that same question in 2016. And then for every question, you can see in depth how the different groups responded, how their responses were from strongly agree, 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 some disagree, or strongly disagree. The grade 6 to 12 survey, most of the questions had 5 responses. You can see right there for every specific question how it compared to statewide, breakdown by gender. And all this, what I'm showing you, you have, it's the same for each of your schools too. So you can go in depth with each of your schools. So it's just a lot. It's exciting because there's just a lot of different layers of data to look at. This, look, show you this question. Students in this school treat each other with respect. In your district, 25% of students either strongly agreed or agreed that students treat each other from respect. And then when students see another student being picked on, they try to stop it. 23% of your students responded favorably. Students at this school are often teased or picked on. 28% responded favorably. Any questions so far? I'm going to go back then to the staff. And, oh, nope, I'm sorry, I'm still in. And while the staff overall responded more positively to student peer climate, then you can dig in specifically of how staff responded for each statement. So going down here to peer climate. So staff, again, in Petersburg, staff perceptions of peer climate was a lot more positive than the statewide average, which is great to see. So then you can see the breakdown for every topic and question. If there's enough responses, so this is an anonymous survey, and to protect the confidentiality, you need to have at least 6 respondents in any category answering anything in order to have a breakdown. So you can see here that classroom teachers, 84% of your classroom teachers reported more strongly of overall perception of peer climate more positively than staff who identified in other ways. Staff who worked less than 2 years, and the staff who worked more than 15 years were, it was interesting to me that they both reported higher positive climate than those staff in the middle in the school. And then, more, let me clarify, then more than, however, staff who reported working in your district more than 15 years, actually across the board in almost in all areas, staff who reported working in your district more than 15 years, they reported more positively. And I noted to your superintendent earlier that it's awesome to see that, A, you have quite a few staff that have been in your district for a long time, which really, it has such a positive impact on your students' success. And again, you can look at, for each staff question, how staff responded specifically for each question. So the first one is, at this school, students and teachers get along really well. 88% of your staff responded favorably that yes, this is the case. Students in this school help each other even if they are not friends. This was 60% of your staff reported yes. And if you remember before, earlier, it was a lot less than that. Students in this school treat each other with respect. 62% of your staff responded favorably, and students, it was a lot lower. So now I'm going to go back to another topic. You mentioned student involvement, so we'll check that one out. And again, please let me know if you have any questions. And I'm going to scroll down to student involvement. So you can, at first glance, so student involvement are student and staff perceptions of how involved students are in what's happening in their school. So you can see, again, for students, it's quite a bit lower. Students' perceptions is lower than staff perceptions. We often see that, especially in the student involvement scale. How are we defining being involved in school, right? For students, it was 35% of students throughout your district responded that they either strongly agreed or agreed that they felt like they were involved in school, which is a bit lower than the statewide average. However, your staff, it was 63% of your staff reported that students are involved in what's happening at school, which was above the statewide average. So again, you can click on specific items. These questions, students and staff were asked the exact same questions. So when you look at now this topic by grade level, who responded most positively? What grade? Seventh graders. So for the peer climate area, it was the 11th graders that responded most favorably. For student involvement, it was the seventh graders at 44%. So some of those, there are three questions in this topic. In my school, students are given a chance to help make decisions. State or district-wide, 45% of your students responded favorably, which went up from the last year. Students are involved in helping to solve school problems. 32% responded favorably. The principal asked students about their ideas. 28% responded favorably. And I just froze for a second. So I want to ask you, even though this was just a quick glimpse into your data, what stands out to you? What does it surprise you? And even these are just glimpses of your data.
Well, I thought it was interesting, though, you had the previous question, 55% of the students were feeling were either, sometimes and sometimes, they were mm-hmm. in between. And so adding those along with those that strongly agree or agree, you're upwards of the 75 to 80% of the population is saying mm-hmm. most of the time this is the case, but I think you could argue that middle ground is, yeah, they'll see a student be disrespectful to another student. Well, then you might eliminate that strongly agree because they saw it happen two or three times. And, mm-hmm. And so what is their perception or what is their, in their own mind, what is often versus sporadic or
some agree,
periodic.
Some disagree.
Yeah, and that's true for every question in the survey, right? And that's why this survey, it's a survey to get perception, student and staff perceptions, and your students and staff took the survey in 1 2-week period. Districts choose a window from January to May, mm-hmm. or February to May, and I believe your district did it in the beginning of February. So what's happening in your district mm-hmm. in February? What was happening at that time when your students or staff were sitting down taking that survey? Mm-hmm. How are they defining? Yeah, many of the questions. It's important to keep that in check. Mm-hmm. And this data is just one thing to look at along with all the other information you have. Mm-hmm. But I think what's most important about this school climate data is that it's a conversation starter. It's a way to get a glimpse into what your students and staff are feeling, saying. I know in the past, Petersburg, survey results have led to some different activities, including the freshmen.
I think you guys did some work on, didn't you, Rick, on the Freshman Academy and that sort of thing after some of these conversations, mm-hmm. too? That connected piece, mm-hmm. or having kids feel like they have more of that support.
So I'm cognizant of my time, but I do, and I think my computer's frozen, but I do want to ask is, overall, how can this school climate data be helpful for you in your work as a school board member? How is it connected? Or how can you see using these results?
I can see where, if it's certain programs, like if administrators come to us with a creative idea of trying to, whether it's addressing a problem or even just changing a perception, mm-hmm. To improve the climate for kids, whether it's academic or social. Mm-hmm. If we have this data, so there's a perception, whether it's accurate or not, mm-hmm. a perception of something, and there's a creative way of trying to change that perception or deal with a problem that is mm-hmm. a legitimate issue, mm-hmm. I think it adds teeth to the request for an administrator to say, I think this is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Part of strategic planning.
Yeah.
Looking at that,
yep.
too, mm-hmm. thinking about the
Yeah, I would definitely encourage the district, because you have this data, to look at this, your school climate data, along with everything else when you're making decisions around your strategic planning this fall. And the superintendent and I were also talking about this fall, making sure that the rest of your staff have a chance to look at the results, possibly at a fall in-service time, because this data is really important. However, you can only improve data or use it. I want it to be useful to you as the district. And I hope that this new platform, this new tool, will be really useful to your school principals and other staff.
Well, I was just looking under the playbook option.
Yes.
Which was really cool that mm-hmm. it gave, like, some ideas. You could click on what you wanted to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I clicked on, like, sense of belonging, and then it brought up a whole bunch of activities
yes.
that they could... that teachers could put or administrators could put into the school.
Yep.
I mean, so that's nice to put data and linkage with
action.
Growth opportunities, action, yeah.
Absolutely. So we partnered with Panorama Education for this platform. And so around the country, they support school districts in all different kinds of school climate surveys, districts and states. And so that playbook is a wealth of resources from folks all around the country. And so exciting that now... districts in Alaska can
yeah.
utilize that. And school leaders and staff can like actually save stuff in the playbook. They could submit stuff if they want to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. I think the platform is a lot more user-friendly than the others were before. I mean, you know, just with the graphs.
Absolutely.
Instead of it was kind of
absolutely.
Hard to sort things.
Yep.
Well, one thing that concerns me is everything has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
We've lowered by 3 or 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do to make them
go
up?
Specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Or move them from the so-so to the agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying.
Because
yeah.
I think that
groups. Yeah.
A lot of it was about 50% in a lot of categories
mm-hmm.
were doing so-so.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
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 And I look at that middle category as agree-some, disagree-some as... students who don't feel strong enough, or staff who don't feel strong enough to either do agree or disagree. So, what can you do to help those that middle group? Hopefully,
mm-hmm.
think more positively about
mm-hmm.
that an area.
More strongly about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the grade, yes, your 6th to 12th grade students went down slightly in a lot of the areas. However, your grade 3 to 5 students. They took the survey for the first time this year, so you don't have a year before to compare it to. In almost everything, it was higher than the statewide average. So it, just to point out, you have a lot of positives in your data as well. Any other questions, comments?
Are we able to get into it?
Yeah. And of course, I'm available for any other support. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Nope. Hold on. I get back to my agenda. I'm getting there. I don't know how I can't like close out of it, so. All right. Oh, you've got the paper emergency. Paper emergency's faster right now. Okay, moving on to the budget. Director of Finance, Karen Quitzel, will present the 2018 budget and be available for questions. First, we'll go ahead and I'll move to approve the 2018 budget as presented. Mm-hmm. Motion's been made and seconded, and so now the presentation, it seems a little backwards, but we'll, motion's made and seconded to present it, and then we can have a discussion and decide whether to go on.
Sounds good.
Which one, yeah, do I take?
Just one.
Just one.
Wow.
You okay?
I just moved that, so I wasn't going to be kicking it. So this was a different budget process for us this year, given the state and where they are in the legislation. We still don't have final numbers on what we can base our revenue on, which of course is where we always start with our budget. So what I did is I actually did three separate budgets. I did a 5% reduction in the foundation, and I'm just going to briefly talk about this and then we'll go through the PowerPoint. So I did a 5% reduction in the foundation funding, I did a 2.5% reduction in the foundation funding, and then I did flat. Because I wanted to know if, for some reason, the 5% did pass, how does the district look? So these numbers on this summary sheet, I realize I have a couple of typos on here, which I will go over. Really, the numbers that I want to focus on and the budget that I would recommend that we adopt is the 2.5% reduction in foundation funding. If I was 4 years, you know, 4 years ago, I would have actually probably recommended the 5%. But we've seen over the last few years that there's this major push to cut education funding, and then it doesn't come into fruition. So I think the 2.5% reduction to foundation funding, this budget that I would recommend, I even think that this won't necessarily pass, but I feel like it is a really conservative and safe budget for the district to adopt. So with that, I think I'll go on to the PowerPoint. And Erica, please, just whenever you want to hop in, just jump right in. So all three of the budgets are based on our ADM, which is average daily membership at 479. This is actually a slide that we had looked at before when we had just talked about the considerations with the budget. So I have updated the three scenarios at the very end in the red, of course, for this fiscal year. So we have the 5%, which would be a decrease in our foundation funding of $280,000. If we were to go with the 2.5, that's a decrease in $140,000, and flat funding is flat. So I'm just presenting these numbers as far as what the actual foundation reduction would be. So those are those two numbers there. Again, I just added this slide in. This slide was from before, just to give a visual of where we're looking. Obviously, if we come in flat, we are sitting in great shape. If we come in at the 5% reduction to foundation funding, you'll see that it's a bare bones budget. Can the school district function? Yes, we can. We will have nothing saved for contingencies. We will go into our fund balance, because there's things that happen throughout the year that we can't anticipate, such as long-term subs. We can't anticipate that. If something happens and we have a really cold winter, this budget at the 5% reduction that I have presented on the summary sheet, there's no contingency there for if we have a really cold winter. So actual numbers, like to the penny. So House Bill 57, that's the legislation that's still being discussed with the 5% reduction to foundation funding. It's really interesting because there are actually three numbers that are being floated around. So the Department of Education has calculated that shortfall of $293,859. The Legislative Finance has calculated it at a shortfall of $335,000. When I look at the fiscal note, though, it's $280,175. So that's actually what I built all three of these budgets on, is the fiscal note. Okay, so if we were to see a 5% reduction in our foundation funding, that's $280,175 less that we would receive. Again, this is not written into the actual foundation formula. What the state has proposed to do, or the legislation has proposed to do, is short fund it. So they're not going to fund this bill to the fullest. So we would be looking really at a bare bones budget. The sub budgets would be pretty minimal. Teaching supply budgets would be really bare bone. There'd be no professional development, with the exception of state required. There's certain staff members that have to go to state trainings. The technology and the maintenance budgets are minimal, and we don't have any contingency for utilities. This is where the typo is. We'd actually go into our fund reserves by $20,000 based on our revenue and our expenditures, but that's at the very minimum. Very minimum. So. I am. Yep. Yep. So. Yep, that's the right one. So 2.5% foundation funding would be $140,000 less for our state funding. So this is the budget that I would actually recommend to the board. I've increased the sub-budgets. The teaching supply budgets and the curriculum budgets are not at the levels of this year, but they're much closer. They're actually survivable budgets. Maintenance gets a little bit more, and then we put in a little bit of professional development. Again, this one would go, we would go into our fund reserves by $17,000. Now, if we came out with flat funding, I would be very happy. There would be additional increases to the teaching supply budgets similar to this year. The technology budget would be robust. Maintenance would be back to levels of this year, not quite exactly, but close. We would have professional development, and I also would recommend, if this budget were to pass, that we put the SPED contract services, just a portion of it, into our general fund, because what we're also seeing is that all of our grants are coming in substantially less this year. So I would also make a recommendation, if this were to happen, if we were to get flat funding, that we would transfer some money into food service and student transportation. Neither of those funds are self-sufficient. We always, we have some fund reserves built in each of these funds because we've been preparing for this reduction to state funding, but it's prudent to continue along that path and keep those funds sustaining within our operating budget if we can. Do you want to add anything on that one, Erica? Mm-hmm. So this would actually, we would go into our fund reserves by about $10,000 at the minimum. So some of the things that we're taking into consideration as we're looking at the budget, and we have gone over some of these, 1% increase in salaries for certified, exempt, and classified. On-behalf rates for TERS is 14.22%. And the on-behalf rate for PERS is 3.01%. Again, we have to recognize that as a revenue, and we also have to recognize it as an expenditure. And in our general fund, we have to recognize all of the grants, too, in our operating budget, the on-behalfs. I put the fiscal 18 premiums for health insurance because they've gone down a total of about 7%, which has resulted in a savings of almost $90,000 district-wide. That's employee and employer. That's what the employees pay per month, yes.
And then we pay
80%. They pay 20, we pay 80.
That's
20%
of the total
unit. Mm-hmm. So other, again, I've already talked about the savings with switching to the tier structure with Public Education Health Trust. For the district, that's $85,000 saving. The borough passed the municipal rate, so we're looking at a potential savings of $80,000 in utilities. And then some of our staffing changes resulted in savings for the district this year. So some of our retired employees, the replacements come in at lower on the salary schedule. So there was some savings there as well. So This is the graphical representation of the revenue for the budget that I would recommend, which is the 2.5% reduction in foundation. I just have to say that I'm always conservative when I approach the budgeting because it's a lot easier to give somebody money for their supplies or their budget than to take it away, and I never want to be the one to do that. So I feel really confident with this budget that if it ends up being 1%, we're going to be sitting great as well. So we're looking at the revenue. That's flat from the borough of $1.8 million. They have actually, in their budget, it's less on secure rural schools and more out of their operating budget. So that's, I feel really great about that because it's less, our secure rural schools will last longer. $103,000 for other local revenue. That's actually our student fees, our gate receipts, and then we do get some other local revenue just from facility rentals and, That is conservative, that $103,000. We usually come in closer to $120,000, but again, I'd rather start out conservatively and do a revision and put more money in the budget. E-Rate, that is a program that John Clue Painter and I work on together, and it's federal funding for, mostly it helps offset our costs for internet. So we've got $71,694 on that. Our state resources, $6,566,428. That's down from this spring of $164,000. So our total revenue for our operating budget would be $8,541,822. And you can kind of see that I give percentages there on what the sources are. So 77% of our revenue is from the state, 21% is from the borough, E-rate, and other local revenue, all those other ones are approximately 1%. And then our expenditures, again, another graphical representation. I didn't go too crazy with too many graphs today, but I do like providing a visual for what we're spending our funds on. So 44% on regular instruction at $3,791,395. Our special education instruction, that's 14% of our expenditure budget at $1,206,604. I will say that we have, I have been reevaluating how some of our expenditures are coded because we have a require of maintenance for, maintenance of effort actually is what it's called for our SPED program. And so I've made it closer to what it actually should be. It's hard when you're creating a budget and people are doing all sorts of different things. So I've actually put the people who are doing SPED into the SPED, but last year some of them were in regular instruction. So I'm just tightening up as I go. Support services students,
That is our counselor budget. No, yes, that's right. Sorry. Support services, students. That's the counselor budget. That's approximately 4% at $309,000. Support services instruction, that's 7% at $612,162. That is our libraries and our technology budget. We have school administration at 4% at $328,164. We have school administration support services, that's our principal secretaries, and that's 3% at $234,563. We have district administration, which also includes the board, that's 4% at $344,432. We have district admin support services, that's 2%, that's my budget, that's the finance office, $174,051. Operations and maintenance, that's Dan's budget, 14% at $1,210,425. And student activities at 4%, $366,046. So our overall expenditures would be $8,576,913. And we would be going into our reserves by just about $17,000. But this budget, compared with our 5% reduction, we have cushion in this budget. It's not so bare bones. I don't anticipate we would need to go into our fund reserve. And why is that important? I keep talking about this fund reserve. We want to really maximize what we can carry forward. We're limited, or by Alaska statute, we're capped at being able to carry more than 10% across forward in our fund reserves. And so we really want to keep that number as close to the 10% as we can. 9.99 is ideal.
And these budgets all include something like
Mm-hmm. They do. Yep. So I do talk about on this last slide just the two Alaska statutes. However, on the budget that we're submitting to the state, they no longer have the Alaska statute where the minimum expenditure for instruction calculation requires at least 70%, so I think that they've done away with that. But we did come in at 75.6, which is actually higher than normal, and it has to do with the fact that Dan's done such a great job with utilities that some of those funds that would previously go to his budget are actually moved into instruction. It is awesome. And so if you pass the 2.5 reduction in foundation, what our fund balance would be at the end of the year, all things being perfect, would be $842,000. I think this year we've got $877,000 is what we're carrying forward. So that's my recommendation. I have all the budgets here if you wanted to look through them. I didn't want to go line by line necessarily. I wanted to give more of an overview.
You went over the cost savings, but how did you factor in what the increases in each individual?
The increases quite often have to do with salaries. That's a major part of it. So each year, you know, the salaries go up by 1%. And so when you're looking at the fiscal 17, if that's the number that you're looking at, that's our spring revision. When I present to the board in the spring for the following year, it's usually looks a lot different than this. So this fiscal 17, if you're looking at that, that's more of an actual cost at the end of this year. That's what we've actually spent. The increases usually have to do with the salary increases, 1%, which actually ends up being quite a bit across the board. And then on top of that, you have to add the benefits onto those increases in the salary.
So there was a couple sections where I know there was only a few employees, but I'm guessing maybe you just had a smaller amount at that spring than you had maybe previously budgeted.
I was just giving this for comparison purposes.
my not student, where is this one? Like my school admin support services and
So one of the things, okay, so I actually know what you're talking about. So one of the things, when I'm doing the spring revision, the board didn't really travel this year. You didn't go to the legislative fly-in. So there was money taken out of that budget and put somewhere else in the spring. But I don't want to start the year out with no transportation funds for you guys, because I think it's super important when you guys can go to the legislative fly-ins. It's the same thing with the superintendent. If we have wallet funds, we'll use wallet funds for her to travel for the district. So there's savings. We'll recognize savings, and that's why it's kind of, it's a little bit skewed showing you the spring numbers.
Too bad it wasn't like the budgeted, the last year's budget for the
start. And I can get that for you.
So
I'd be happy to.
And then you could kind of see the, not the real numbers, but the
well,
previous budget for the year. But no, I mean, I was just curious.
I was just looking at this school admin support services that went up almost 10%. It's almost up 10% in the with the 2.5% budget.
And that has to do with the copier costs, actually. Copier costs this year have gone up quite a bit, and in addition to that, there is more phone service that's being used in those budgets. So have to anticipate that. And activities did go up because actually we under budgeted at the spring revision. Those numbers did go up. So when I'm doing the budget, I'm actually looking live at the program at what the budget is, and then I'm also having to take the actual cost of salaries and add that in. It probably would have been a better representation to use the fiscal 17 budget. It might be more of a apples to apples instead of apples to oranges. But I didn't, so I'm sorry.
Next time. There was a couple of big jumps and I wasn't sure what
questions.
What do the increases in teaching supply and the increases in technology look like from 2.5 to flat?
Well, those are actually pretty well represented here. Approximately 20,000 for regular instruction would go right into the teachers' budgets. And technology, 18. So these, I will say this, the technology budget, and I talked with John earlier, this year he ended up with like $150,000 to use on technology supplies. There was a lot of things that were happening in district. We had to get all new airports. He won't see those, and he's been planning for this as well. He's anticipating that his budget will be less. So,
and is that what this budget reflects, or does this budget give him some and he's just anticipating a cut?
It's giving him some, but it's not funding him to this level, to this school year's level, across the board.
And this would do, the 2.5 would do no transfer to food services?
No.
And so then we would just use straight reserves to cover that?
We would use the fund balances in there. Now, if we come in the spring and that we have funds that we could transfer out, because it's really hard to know if everyone's going to use their budget. I mean, we anticipate that they're going to use a budget, but there's some that don't. So then we would say at the spring revision, let's transfer the remaining funds out. We've done that almost every year. Yeah. This year was the first year we didn't, last year, fiscal 17 was the first year where we did not start our operating budget with a transfer out.
Right.
We did it partway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
questions or concerns?
I'm pretty comfortable with the 2.5 since it's kind of somewhere in Bisbee. It feels like it's throwing a dart at a dartboard. So I don't know what the legislature is going to do, but gotta do something here.
Yeah, so long as that we're still maxing out our 10% savings, I'm pretty mm-hmm. comfortable with most of the budgets. So long as we're saving to the max.
Yep.
That's where we are.
That's where we are, yeah. And that's always the goal. I guess the one thing I would like to say is that, you know, it's really hard for us to plan staffing-wise. We're definitely understaffed in the district. And because, you know, we kind of wait till the last minute because we're hoping that the legislators will decide what they're going to do. So we actually have something solid to base our funding on. But it's very difficult because they haven't the last 5 years. And so it is somewhat of a, I don't want to say it's a guessing game, but it's putting the pieces of the puzzle together in a certain way. And we definitely have needs within the district. We need more staff, but it's hard to hire not knowing what's going to happen from year to year. So
it's been the last 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 years, really, mm-hmm. for sure, the 3 to 4, but we're just not. I mean, even though our numbers are back up almost where they were from 2008.
Mm-hmm.
If we had an opportunity, where do you think the staff would be needed first?
High school.
Instruction?
Mm-hmm. And our special ed is an area that we are understaffed.
In high school. Sped in high school.
And that's that maintenance of effort conversation. We've been very fortunate with people like Cindy Fry, and
mm-hmm.
Bridget has pulled in from her director position to help offer it. It's been on the backs of really, really good people who work really, really hard.
So the salaries for the instructors, like it's in the under instruction under the budget, is that right?
So each salary is in within each category. So like our counselor budgets, our counselor salaries are going to be in support services students. Our librarians and our technology budget is going to be in support services instruction. So it's all split out by whatever it is that they're doing in the district. So our regular instruction is going to be, you know, the grade room teachers at the elementary school, and then, you know, the subject teachers at the middle and the high school. Instruction also includes our Voc Tech program as well.
Probably, what, 85% of the budget is people?
Oh, yes, 85% of our budget is people.
Where's food services and stuff in?
It's not reflected on the operating budget. It has its own separate fund.
So we sometimes use operating funds.
Mm-hmm. Food service is not, it's across the board, it's not a sustainable program just from their own cash receipts. So, you know, it's very normal for districts to transfer funds into their program. Same thing with our bus contract. Our bus contract comes in about $25,000 more than what the state covers. So we have to cover the remainder of that.
And those come out of what part of this?
Well, they're not reflected on here because this is more of a conservative budget. Now, if we were to get flat funding, I would make the recommendation that we should transfer some of those funds into both food service and to the transportation fund. But it's not in the 2.5%. The 2.5% is... There is enough in this budget for teachers to do what they need to do, to have the supplies that they need, for there to be professional development, and there's some cushion in there as far as, you know, for electricity or things that come up. There's always things that come up throughout the school year. But I would say keep that all in the operating budget, and if we find that as we get to the spring, if we find that we have funds because people aren't spending or we just budgeted too much, then move those funds into either food service or student transportation in the spring revision.
So we know we'll have costs for the buses and the food service, but they're not in here anywhere.
They're not in here, no. And they have small fund reserves within their own fund.
Right.
So there's, if there was nothing, If there was nothing in the fund reserve, yes, we would have to deal with it in our operating budget. But the last couple of years, we've been planning for this, and we've been transferring some funds out to cover, because we knew this day was coming. We've been planning for it, and it's still an unknown if it's really going to come to fruition. We might come in at a 1% foundation reduction. I don't really think we'll come in flat. I think 2.5% is super conservative.
Are there any other big expenses like those that may, or we know will probably have to come out of this budget?
No, this is just operating as normal. Yeah. And if they did, we would have to, you know, we will revisit this in the fall.
Yeah. Sure.
We're going to have to, because we'll know what's happening.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But even with a 5%, we don't need to cut staff at this point.
No.
So, I mean,
we're under. So we're
if
not.
Something happens,
nope,
we're still going into August with our fall.
What we would be looking at is minimal technology budget, minimal.
We go to things.
Yeah, we go to things.
Mm-hmm. And services that way.
Yeah,
good job.
So it's good.
Yeah,
it's great.
Phew.
We're in. Good job, Karen.
Much better frame of mind and position in many districts right now. So,
okay, can I step away now?
Yeah.
Job well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion.
I can't believe you didn't find like a couple million dollars hidden.
You could be the rock star at state.
Well, that's what
that comes
did,
with the magic wand.
You know, and then they lock.
That was their municipality, wasn't it?
Struggling again. Anyway.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the 2018 budget as presented.
With a 2.5.
With the 2.5, yeah, reduction.
Second.
Okay. Why don't you call the roll?
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky?
Yes.
Randy Marole?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have the sale and disposable of books, equipment, and supplies. According to our board policy 3270, miscellaneous items like science textbooks, materials, desks, tables, chairs, screen printing iron. That sounds interesting.
No doubt.
Sand and rice table, and 2002 Chevy van and file cabinets, etc. We need to approve the disposal or sale and or sale. So I'll make a motion to approve the disposal and sale of the listed inventory.
Second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any comments, questions, concerns?
Is it just going to be sold the same way on buy sell, like buy sell trader?
Yep. Okay. Probably in the next month or so. Okay. In case anybody's listening and wants to
get
that screen printing iron
of the sand and rice table.
Exactly.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded to approve the disposal sale of the listed inventory. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Let the garage sale commence. Next, we're going to look at the multifunctional school activity bus. Director of Maintenance Dan Tate will provide information regarding the recommendation to purchase an ADA accessible multifunctional school activity bus to replace the Chevy van. So I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the 2018 Thomas-built Minotaur multifunctional school bus activity bus for $57,705. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded, and so now we'll hear the presentation, and then we can have a discussion and decide whether to vote for it or not.
Well, the district ran a request for proposal for nearly 2 months. It was published on the district website, and approximately 20 copies were direct mailed. Two bids were received. They were reviewed by President Holmgren, Superintendent KP, Principal Dormer, Activities Director Cabral, and myself. Of the two bids, the rating team is recommending the acceptance of the Quality Equipment Sales and Service of Anchorage's proposal for the a brand new 2018, as you mentioned, Thomas built Minotaur. That's kind of interesting how they that model name there. It's a GM chassis. And it's a Thomas-built frame, and It will be a 14-passenger plus driver, readily convertible to a 12-passenger and one wheelchair plus driver. It does not require a CDL to operate. As mentioned, the vehicle would replace the 2002 Chevy passenger van, which is no longer suitable for student transportation. It will have a 3-year or 36,000-mile warranty. It will meet all national, state standards or laws in effect for this type of school vehicle. So therefore, the administration is requesting $57,705 out of the capital fund for vehicle replacement to purchase this vehicle. Are there any other questions?
Did you say readily convertible?
So meaning we take out the rear bench seat and then the wheelchair can go in that space.
So it would come with the stuff to have a wheelchair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. No conversion in terms of do we get it and then we have to do something to it. Conversion meaning that once we have it, we can change the seating arrangement anytime we want.
Is it easy to take the seat out?
It sure sounds like it is, yeah. We talked with the dealership last week, and it sounds like it won't be any problem. Partially, and we also have to abide by the fact that passenger vans like we've been operating are not really based on the federal Transportation Safety Act, are not really allowed for student transportation. At least you can't buy them new. So once your vehicle has reached the end of its life, you really need to replace it with this type of vehicle to operate legally. Just for activities, you have to have a school bus for that type of activity or for that type of transport.
I noticed
when
kind of like Juneau or Ketchikan, they don't really have eagle buses; they rent commercial vans. I was wondering what the cost was of putting those buses on the ferry.
Two feet longer, which is great because we can actually fit bags. The current one is great for kids. It's really hard to fit bags in the current Viking bus, but that's great, but it will make it. I don't know if that raises the range on the ferry or not, but I know.
The current Viking bus that we have is right at the 21-foot level, so it rides in with the, before you have to pay by the foot is what I'm trying to say. This next one will have to charge it a little bit, it'll charge a little bit more to go on the ferry. Well, I'm sure Jamie would have had those figures for us. Unfortunately, he's not here.
We've done, but we have done both just fairly recently with baseball. I know we've talked about sending them, and sometimes we looked at the price and didn't collect it to rent because it was cheaper to rent when we got there.
Why are the other schools getting those little buses? I guess that's my question. Where?
Well, I think the other schools do.
They do.
Yeah, this is the one.
And Jamie mentioned that our bus has got other districts, got the wheels spinning, that they would like to go this route as well. Well, actually, they have to if they're running passenger vans. He has one.
Two years ago.
I'd like to add, we were quite encouraged with this bid because Mr. Cabral and my initial research showed that we'd probably be looking at $77,000 or so for a new vehicle, and this one came in at the base price of $55,000, and we need a couple options to make it work for us. That's why we're asking for $57,000. No, it's two-wheel drive with rear dualies. Pardon me?
How will that be on the stick rotor down here?
Well, we run dualies on our flatbed, and it the first one, the old one we had, ran great with just two-wheel drive, so, and dualies on the back.
It's not bad. They're heavy enough. It's a lot better than the rear-wheel drive vans. Those are
Yeah.
So
Well, this is a separate fund.
It's a vehicle fund that they dump money into. You know, you put some money in each year, so then when it's the rotation comes up,
it's not just out of the capital.
No,
it's out of the vehicle fund.
So then, since we bought the other one not too long ago, in theory, we shouldn't be buying a vehicle for a while unless something.
Yeah, we'll have to look at replacing the 2003 Ford van eventually.
Okay.
That'll be the next one out. And then probably the driver's ed car, which is a 2005, somewhere down the line.
Okay.
But that's in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The van will be the next headache coming along as it ages more.
And the reason why was they want to add the racks. You see the in this picture,
mm-hmm.
the quote did not include these racks for backpacks and equipment. So otherwise they were stuffing it down by their feet or in the very back. And if you have a wheelchair back here, you lose a lot of that space.
Okay.
So the racks were that additional.
The racks was one of the...
Something?
The other thing was is the dealer had misinterpreted our request slightly, and having reviewed the RFP, I could see where he would have thought what he did. And what he did is he configured it for 13 seats in a wheelchair, adding up to 14. So one of the benches was a three-person. And then we discussed with the dealer that we would like that third bench removed and have or replaced with a two-person bench and then have an additional bench in the back. And that's the additional cost of about $1,200.
Okay.
To make it 14.
Yeah, it was, one of the seats were 30 inches, and then they said, well, they're...
36.
And then for three people, it was 36, so somehow that third person only takes up 6 inches.
We were like,
there is
no
way.
Yeah.
You get teenagers?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like maybe first graders or kindergartners, but not...
Are these racks going to be big enough for stuff to be shoved up there?
They're like backpacks.
18 inches?
Backpacks and sleeping bags.
You know how they put all their everything, their whole locker is in that backpack.
Well, they usually bring they bring their backpack, and then they also bring a bag that barely fits underneath the seat. So,
well,
yeah.
They'll have to reconsider.
Just making sure that that's going to fit. Their stuff.
And I think, like we talked about, even like sleeping bags and pillows and things like that can go up there. But it just was a need.
That's a good idea
to kind of get more stuff off the floor.
Yeah,
which will be wet.
Which will be wet.
And while I don't have the exact figures in front of me, Karen and I discussed this a couple weeks ago, we'd probably be using about half of that capital fund balance for this purchase, and so we'd still have a remaining $50,000 to $60,000 in there, as far as we're aware at this moment.
Well, I do like that they give you a three-year or 36,000-mile warranty.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to get the 36,000 miles right away.
No, it's going to be a while. So
we'll
get
three.
It's new too. It's not used. The other one of the other quotes that we had looked at that was presented was a used one.
And that one
and
came
it was
in
more.
And that came in at $70,000.
Yeah, so
for a very similar vehicle.
It's gonna be yellow.
Nope, it'll be white.
Oh, okay.
Brochure's yellow, but we asked for a white one, and that's what we're getting.
Great. We put our Viking.
Do you know? I don't know on the ferry. You know, it seems like the bigger your car gets, it's like you get a certain length, all of a sudden the price goes way up.
Oh yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Are we hopefully not crossing that?
This one
threshold.
Is bigger. This one is longer.
We're 2 feet beyond the 21-foot threshold, somewhere there.
I wonder if though if we were kind of forced in. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're forced into it because we need the ADA compliant van.
Yes.
But it's like because the other one's not correct.
Right.
That we have
not as long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe we send
just
that other bus if we don't need the ADA on the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
If the ferry's still running on this fall.
Yeah.
What's
<Yeah.
laughs>
that?
The state shuts down and we're all stranded.
Exactly. But we'll have a nice van. We can all
people
around.
You need a ride?
We'll
give you a ride.
We'll become the Uber district.
Give me a couple dollars.
They give them an point, huh?
That's right. Park and ride.
Park
and ride. Nothing green one, that's what we need, I guess.
And I also might add that we also tried to get a used one comparable to what we purchased 2 years ago, and there's just nothing out there.
What did he pay for that one? I don't remember.
About $31,000 was the base price, and then by the time I got it, it was $34,000, something like that.
Okay, any other questions? Concerns? Okay. Motion has been made and seconded to approve the purchase of the 2018 Thomas-built Mini-O-Tour multifunctional school bus, activity bus, for $57,705. Irene, can you call the roll?
Sure. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Randy Marole?
Yes.
Cheryl Fyle?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to the parent community survey results. Superintendent Clint Painter.
Handbooks.
Handbooks. Oh, how did I skip over that? Sorry. Bifocals. Sorry. On the board master calendar is the student handbook review. Administrators, both principals, will discuss any changes made to the elementary, middle school, high school activities, and coaches' handbook for next school year.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Who's going first? Terry.
Look at the two areas that I kind of focus on this year, attendance and health. So we looked at attendance and kind of want to do a different mindset for parents, because when students do come in late after 8 o'clock, the day has already started. There's work going on, and they're kind of even... if they are there by 8:15, they've missed some work. So we're trying to get the mindset that students will be at school at 8 o'clock. If they're a little late, they're not tardy. But lots of times what happens if you think they'll be late at 8:15, you hit the 8:15 and then they are tardy, you know, if you're running a little bit late. So it's more of a mindset that students need to be at school at 8. Much the same process. They need to come in and get a tardy slip. We ask for people to call, let us know if their student is going to be absent, and then kind of going in line with what the high school has. We're thinking that after 5 cumulative days of absences or tardies per semester, a letter will be sent home describing the attendance concern, along with a copy of the Alaska State Compulsory Attendance Law. So, and this is in line with a lot of school districts. We looked at different ones, and we may request a doctor's note to excuse the absence if we find that, you know, a student is absent, then comes to school, then absent, then comes to school. You know, it becomes a habit. Then, you know, maybe there's a issue or a reason we need to have a doctor's note. And then after 10 days per trimester, which really is a lot when you think of trimesters, that would be 30 a year. That's a lot. And even 15 is quite a few. The same thing, but a meeting may be scheduled to discuss attendance concerns. You know, maybe if a student is absent for a trip and then they get sick, maybe there's not the need to have a meeting, but if there's no real reason, then a meeting could be called. And then after 12 days, more serious, depending on the nature of the absences or tardies, a copy may be sent to the superintendent. Intervention meeting may be scheduled with the principal, counselor, teacher, local authorities, and parents. And as I was thinking about this, it's not any one trimester, but if you have a student who is having these issues, attendance issues, a couple of trimesters or all 3 trimesters, then it is a big problem. So we're asking that absences due to vacations are discouraged. We hope you make your vacation plans during any of the regular school vacation times. It is important for kids to be in school. And we ask that arrangements be made with their teacher. So...
So this yellow is all new?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question about the 8 a.m. time, because I was If school starts at 8:15, why are they having you do stuff at 8 o'clock? That was just a...
Right. Well, you know, I look at it as school starts at 8 o'clock and you have 15 minutes grace period before you're considered tardy. You know, it's just kind of a different mindset. But you have to have, kids are in, we are so pressed for time to get things done. Sometimes kids are in doing their handwriting. Sometimes, you know, it's just starting their day and there's morning work that's...
Well, maybe you shouldn't even have 8:15 there. Why can't you just, bell rings at 8 a.m., you have 5 minutes. School starts.
Well, that's a possibility.
Those parents say, well, I have 15, I mean, because mentally,
right,
in your brain, 8:15.
Sometimes that happens.
That's me. I'm totally guilty of that.
That's
me.
That was me.
It's like true confession.
It's like, oh no, I'm going to get a letter.
Well, we could do that.
No,
or we could.
The new language, though, helps, because to me it was one of those things of
who's
like.
Who's going
to
read it?
Well, I'm wondering if putting it in the bulletin or having newsletters that go out from classes.
Yeah, this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know your child. This is, please read this. Oh, we have to be,
So maybe we'll start there.
What time do the school doors open?
Students can come in for breakfast at 7:45 in the elementary school. And Miss Anderson also opens up the library in the wintertime so kids can go in and do projects or read. So 8:45, but when the bell rings, the majority of students come in.
At
8. At 8.
Seven. Oh, right.
At 8, yeah. And then the bell rings again at 8:15. Yeah.
Bus schedules, but maybe that's not as much of an issue anymore either. I mean, you know, but that's been.
But, you know, if kids kind of straggle in for 5 minutes, you know, and then they're there getting on to their morning work. But it's kind of saying we have to have the kids there by 8.
Well, or 8:05. I mean, if that's what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, that's the
right.
Mindset.
We always know it's bad when the crossing guards are inside.
Yes,
oh.
I live in town.
I have no excuse. My children, my oldest breathed a sigh of relief when she could drive herself to school.
So if you go down to page 9 on health services, looks like I need to put another space in there. But looked at some other schools, policies, and handbooks, and felt like we could expand ours a little bit, so goes into talking about what happens if the kid, your child gets sick during the day.
And most of these things are practices. We just felt like it was important.
Just outlining that this is what we do. Emergency,
you know,
first aid, you know, we don't have a school nurse, but our secretary and other staff take care of the first aid. If there's a serious accident or injury, of course, we would call 911 and contact the parents. Medication, this is exactly what we do and what we've done in the past. You know, it has to be signed in, and we have it locked in a cabinet there at the school, and we have to have paperwork for that. Communicable diseases, and we list several there. They'll be sent home if suspected of having one of these, and will be advised to remain out of school until properly treated. Also asking that you let your the school know any time they're kept home for these suspected contagious conditions, then we know what's going around. Mm-hmm. Fever, we ask that they stay home and be fever-free for 24 hours before returning. Same with vomiting. And then we've had such an issue with lice. Just kind of outlined what lice are and what happens when someone is has been found with lice or nits. And just little guidelines on rechecking and how to stop the spread. And actually, the homework policy has not changed.
Okay, so just got
highlighted. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The stigma has gone away from lice, which is lovely.
Yep, it's even in our handbook.
Hard to laugh.
Lice in the
fingers.
Yeah.
Lice,
we take it serious.
Yeah.
So, if you want to look at those, and even if you have ideas.
You don't.
Yeah, those look like good changes.
Just clean
just,
it up.
Yeah, lines it out a little more.
Is it going to be the same sort of standard that older kids enter through one door and younger kids enter through the other this coming year? I know that happened mid-year, so I'm just wondering if it's going to be in place next year, that it might be nice to notify parents.
This year,
I mean,
for sure, because the following year we will have our playground complete and everyone will be at a different playground.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Think about the logistics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with middle school first. We need updated a little bit more.
Oh, that's the last.
Yeah, I don't didn't know where that got to through.
Oh.
It's my bedtime in 8 minutes.
Okay, I can do this. 3 handbooks in 8 minutes.
Go.
No, fast. Oh, it double paged on me. I didn't want it to do that.
It's policy.
Will one of these buttons down here make it stop doing that? Or we just roll with it? Yeah, that's too fancy for me.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's fine.
Middle school handbook changes. Oh, I need my notes. Middle school travel just said more clearly just that confusion of when to sixth grade, a lot of it's when to sixth graders travel. And it hasn't really changed, it's just tried to explain more in there, more thoroughly.
School is unable to post.
Just kick me off. Oh, good. I'll keep changing them.
I'm a terrible editor, so.
No, I missed a couple on this. Jamie and I were rolling through all three of them at the same time. I think our eyes started wigging out. Do you see one on these pages?
Oh, up here. That you made some changes on the one that's up.
Yeah, the one up on the board is a little bit better than the one you have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did a little bit of editing.
Yeah. But I would really like to hear any typos. Like I said, we were rolling through these pretty fast. And we've also just explicitly said that poor citizenship can't keep kids off trips, which we've kind of but felt we were allowed to exercise before, but I don't know how clearly it was stated in the book. So they could have the great grades, but they could be knucklehead at school, you know, do something pretty egregious, and we have the right to keep them from a trip if they do something like that.
Why do we have it as high as the superintendent has to determine that? Did you want to keep yourself and Jamie out of that, or?
It's just, it's a lot of work for us, and I'd like her to do it. It just seems like all the book just says the superintendent or their designee, which is me or Jamie or who else could be here.
But maybe
we could change it if you'd like.
It could be principal.
You mind if
I designee?
Well, I can just. I can foresee someone trying to skirt around and go to the superintendent instead of taking what you or Jamie may say.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
That never happens. Does there have to be an actual event to be for that to come into play, or is that just, I mean, because that's just kind of, and you could have an issue with a child that, and you two don't, like, get along. Say it's you and another child, or Jamie and another child, he'd mm-hmm. be like, no. Where everyone else and the rest of the team supports them. I mean, that's kind of...
We had examples several years ago. We had a basketball player, a pretty good basketball player, throw a stool and rip one of the doors off the hinge, and it happened towards the end of the day, and we didn't really get to it very quickly, and he played that night on the court, and a lot of people said, and I agree too, that isn't how we do it.
No.
You know, that's not okay. So we're not going to have a kid say, you know, boy, Mr. Dormer, you're a butt face or whatever, and be like, that's it, you're not traveling. You know, we're pretty good. But we do want to have that right to say that you could have great grades and you could be a great point guard or whatever, but you got to behave.
Right, so that's what this is. Yeah. Does it have to be like a documented incident, or can it just be like, we don't, I mean...
I would think if they weren't traveling or it was something major like that, you would have that conversation with the adults as well. And
yeah.
Say, this is what happened and why, you know, and I would say that it wouldn't...
It would be an office referral anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is the activities book, not the board policy. So at that point, if a parent disagreed with the decision that was made, then that's when you kind of activate the process of appeal, I guess, would be
But if it's that night,
that's a little harder.
It was hard, yeah, like end of the day type of thing.
I would be disappointed to hear if a kid was playing after that behavior.
Yeah.
It would be like, wait, it's a privilege, not a right.
Yeah, something that's not so bad to be suspended.
I mean, not recently,
but
way back in my day, but where there was issues with
coaches and
kids. Well, not necessarily coaches, but you know, like there was different punishments for different children.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a long way in that
sports-wise, where
it
was like, well, I like you, and you know, maybe my kid plays on that team and he needs you, so you're okay, but you are going to get a hardship.
Well, I think the good thing now is there's so many rules with ASA, though, that are different. Like, the actual Activities Association has so many more guidelines and rules for that, too. Plus, I would say the general setup of with PBIS and just with the consistency of the tier system, specifically in the middle school, that sort of thing, pretty spelled out as far as what they can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess it could be interpreted in different ways.
Mm-hmm. It could. Yeah, everything's, you know, you'll see the tier system or a grid that shows the displays.
So maybe it's that too, maybe there could be some reference to the actual
as far as what
the tier, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That there's, you know.
Right, because
that
just kind of gives me a blanket, like, if I think that you're not acting appropriately, then you're not.
Okay,
so
work on that.
You can make a note about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you put something in there, that would be great. So that gives you more of a reference as to what that means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right, citizenship could be lots of things. You know, pick up that piece of trash, so you're not going, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, which I don't think anyone here would do.
No.
But I have seen that happen.
Yeah, sure.
The extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance policy is very similar to, and it'll be similar in the high school book as well. What is interesting here, we have added in the middle school and the high school, thank you, Juno Douglas, is this idea of an aggravated tardy, which kind of sounds cool. So what we've dealt with mostly in the high school is this concept that